These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Selah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Selah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Selah lived after he begot Eber 433 years and begot sons and daughters. Verse 16. And Eber lived 430 years and begot Peleg. And Eber lived after he begot Peleg 430 years and begot sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. And Peleg lived after he begot Reu 209 years and begot sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begot Serug. And Reu lived after he begot Serug 207 years and begot sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begot Nahor. And Serug lived after he begot Nahor 200 years and begot sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 920 years and begot Terah. And Nahor lived after he begot Terah 119 years and begot sons and daughters. Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, and Nahor, and Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. Abram and Nahor took them wives, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughters of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, Lot, son of Haran, his son's son, Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years. Terah died in Haran. Now this is the time of the patriarchs, the beginning time of the patriarchs, what we're seeing here. I noticed here as we read, as I studied for this, I started noticing the decline in human longevity. Probably because of stressful conditions after the flood that began to take place. The sun beating down upon the human body, deteriorating, genetics, probably inadequate diet had a lot to do with it. But the primary reason is sin. Amen. Sin is the primary reason of decline of the human mankind. Now men lived back before the flood. If you remember in Genesis chapter 5, we went through there, men were living around 900 years. During that time, Shem lived after flood, which Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, he lived around 600 years. Now his descendant, Peleg, we read here, he lived about 400 years. So you start to notice the decline. It just kept going. And then as we read, it got down around 200 years. Well, over in Psalms chapter number 90, because sin has taken greater effect, we can no longer blame it on diets. We probably have some of the greatest dietitians in the world living today. So in Psalms chapter 90, we can hardly blame it on labor. People riot in many nations because they want 30-hour work weeks. So they're not working as hard. You know, we're not farming land anymore. Psalms chapter number 90 and verse number 10. The days of our years are 80 years. And by reason of strength, they may be 80 years. Yet the strength, sorrow, labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Nowadays, the average, now we have some in here tonight that maybe be above 80, but the average lifespan is around 70 years, give or take a few years, possibly up to 80. Brother Jim, how old's your mom now? 92?
She'll be
98 this month. 98 this month. And Sister Swagman just had a birthday this past couple of weeks ago, and she's looking fresh at 89. 89 here tonight. Wow. Brother James, your mom passed away at 94? 92. Some of us are there, you know, beyond that. So the average, when you average it all out, is around 70 years, give or take. Now, men back then, even when they lived 900 years, were subject to death. Death came. Here's the Genesis chapter 5. He lived, he died. He lived, he died. Look over in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. Verse 14. Romans chapter number 5, verse 14. The Bible says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Look back up at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hebrews tells us, appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, all of us are subject to death. There's a second death that's mentioned over in Revelation chapter 20 and chapter 21, if you go study that. And those that are subject to that death are men that die without Christ, or humans that die without Christ. So death is something that we have to deal with. Now, as we back up and begin to look at this, back in Genesis chapter 11, the human population had begun to grow. Now, they were given a commandment back in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. So it began to grow again. Now, I don't know exactly how many people was alive at the Tower of Babel. Some historians put it between 8 and 10,000 people during that time. That's considering that you may have a growth rate, a population growth rate of about 8%. I think the average growth rate for America now is like 1.7% our growth rate just for the U.S. I think from the 1800s to now, we have boomed from above 1 billion to now, the last census in last year, I think, was 7.6 billion in 2018. So the population grew and it continued to grow. At the time Abram was born, assuming the same type of growth rate was there after this, there was somewhere around 300 million people on the face of the earth at that time, during this time, as you study it out, look at it. Now this here would account for the archaeological groups finding many different civilizations that appeared very shortly after the flood and in many different locations. Because remember, when the Tower of Babel took place, God confounded the languages. He scattered them abroad. There's that saying over in Genesis chapter number 10 that it's kind of always baffled me a little bit. Genesis chapter 10, as we look there at verse number 25, and unto Eber was born 2 sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his day, talking about Peleg, was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Jokathan. So something took place there in the division in Peleg's day, and a lot of them believe that is what started the continental drifts and things began to really separate. I'm really not sure about that. It's just interesting. That verse has always interested me. Do not have an answer for it dogmatically tonight. And if the Lord tarries, probably next year I will not have an answer either. It's interesting to me, the terminology, but it's not enough information there to split hairs and worry about really what exactly took place. Maybe it could just prompt some of you that are much smarter than me to do a little more Bible study, and y'all can figure it out, then y'all can share it with us there. But something took place. It's evident that something took place there in Genesis chapter 10 in the time of Peleg. And then, of course, we know in the earlier studies of chapter 11, we had the separation of there. Now, listen. Man has always been intelligent. Always. You go back to the study of Adam. When you back up all the way back over, God gave Adam a job to do. And that job was to name all the living creatures. Very intelligent. Man's problem is not intellect. Man's problem has always been and will always be a rebellion that grows from the heart. We rebel. We're just a rebellious people by nature if we're not careful. That's why we're commanded in the New Testament that we should die daily. Die daily. Well, as you begin to look at this and begin to study it out as you get there, history continued to march on, but in Genesis chapter 11, verse 25, God began to change focus from dealing with society as a whole and began to start to narrow it down so he could work. And I believe it's to fulfill the promise in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. He began to narrow it down and work through a group of people. Genesis chapter 11, if you would, go there in Genesis chapter 11, verse 25. And Nahor lived after he begot Terah and 119 years and begot sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram. Now Nahor and Haran, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and of course Abram becomes Abraham throughout scripture there. Begot Abram, and Abram begot Nahor, and took wives, verse 29, took them wives, the name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Ishka. But Sarai was barren, she had no child, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So in my opinion, and as I study this out, this is where God begins to separate through Eber and down through Terah and bring the generations and work through what we are told and called in the Bible, God's chosen people, the apple of his eye, which would end up being the nation of Israel. Now God reached down into this idolatrous city of Ur, and he spoke to Abram there, and of course he is a descendant of Shem. When you study it out, it comes down, Abram's a descendant of Shem through Eber and Terah. Terah appears to have been chosen there in verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. So he was there. I believe personally that this time Terah was really trying to seek the face of God. I believe he really tried to seek the face of God. But then when he got to Haran, remember this, iron sharpeneth iron. He got to Haran, I think he began falling asleep on his search for the true and righteous God of the universe, the sovereign God of the universe, and he fell off into paganism. If you would, go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Look in verse number 2. Verse number 3, Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of Terah, of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. Look down at verse number 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So somewhere along the line, now Terah listened, because you see there in verse 27 back in our text, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram and Nahor and Haran, and Haran begot Lot. And then verse 31, and Terah took Abram his son and Lot his son of Aram, his son's son, and Sarai, the daughters, and he left and he went into the land of Aram and he dwelt there, but something went wrong. It's kind of like what, you know, with Gideon. Gideon's always a man that baffled me. Used mightily of God with 300, men of valor, without sword, without spear, without stave, and won a mighty victory for God. But then later on, you study his life, it's like he just swerved off and went a little crazy a little bit, you know, and got out there until God had to deal with him really sternly. So here something happened that to Rob kind of seems to me to kind of went a little sideways there. Now Abraham and Sarai were the parents of Isaac. Look over in Genesis chapter number 20. But they were also, Sarai and Abram's, Sarai was Abram's sister. Now they had the same father, but different mothers. See? Genesis chapter 20, verses 10, 11, and 12. And Abimelech said unto Abram, what sayest thou that thou hast done this thing? What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? Abram said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake, and yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. Now, a lot of times, God covered this here type of marriage later on in the book of Leviticus. And whenever the population grew, it began to cause genetical problems, and God covered it and cut it off. Said, "Listen, this is not to be be so anymore, not to be there." He also, you know, told kings not to multiply their wives. I've heard people say this to me. They said, "Pastor, it must be okay to have multiple wives since David was a man after God's own heart and he had multiple wives." Didn't make it okay. God just recorded down what David did. But it didn't make it okay because God had already said, don't multiply your wives, David. He just did it anyway. So a lot of times we have to understand something, that this is just a very accurate, without error, record as God saw it and wrote it down. But it didn't make it right. Abraham telling Abimelech, this is my wife, my sister, that didn't make it right. And he got rebuked by a lost king. I'm going to tell you, the worst thing in the world is for a lost person to rebuke you. I mean, I like it when a brother comes to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, Brother Lane, listen, you're messing up right there. I can handle that." That's what brother's family's supposed to do, right? But when a lost person rebukes you, that's tough cookies to eat. I mean, it really is. So understand something. The Bible is true and the Bible is accurate. But the things men did in there don't make it right for us to go do simply because they did it. It's just God's recording down their error. Here's an example. Over in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that Judas did what? What did Judas do after he couldn't get rid of the 30 pieces of silver? Judas went out and did what? Well, why don't you all go hang yourself? Because there's another scripture that says, what thou doest, do it thou quickly. Put them together and just, that would make no sense. So men, don't run out here thinking you can have your 14, 15 wives because David had 700. It don't make it right. Doesn't make it right at all. Just understand that this is God's record without error, which include man and his faultiness. God didn't clean it up. Aren't you thankful God reaches us where we're at in our sin state and still loves us? still loves us and cares for us and there. And so Nahor was the grandfather of Isaac's wife in Rebekah over there. If you will look over there in Genesis chapter 24, all these names that we read here, most of you, you know, are starting to make sense out of it because you've heard and read and did Sunday school lessons in these here studies in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out and was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher unto her shoulder, So Nahor was the grandfather of Isaac's wife, Rebekah, and Jacob was born of a union from Isaac and Rebekah. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 25. Now Laban was Rebekah's brother and the father of Leah and Rachel, which were Jacob's wives. And so you had here, Laban deceiving the deceiver. You study that, you know, Jacob the deceiver. Be careful when you try to deceive. There's always somebody out there a little bit more clever than you. A little bit more clever. And it ended up with a lot of trouble along the way. Now, when Abram began to move and to go out, in my opinion, he probably should have left Lot in Haran. But he didn't. I think he cared about his nephew. He cared a lot about him. He carried him along the way. But you know, we ended up with some trouble from Lot. Who was the two nations that come out of Lot in that mess that took place up in the cave with his daughters? Moab and who? The Amorites? Who was it? What was the two? I forgot. Amorites and Moabites. And they've been in trouble ever since. You know? Lot became, he came along, Brother Ray, but he was more of a parasitical follower of God. A parasite. He sucked off of Abram's blessings. You know, whenever they had to split, he went his way. He didn't have much of a walk with God at all. Not much at all there. Now, Joseph, here's something as you study it out and you think about this. Eber brought forth Abram. Abram became Abraham, and then Jacob, Isaac, and then Jacob came along. And this is the patriarch line that led to the nation of Israel. And then there was 12 tribes that was born, of Jacob, the father of the 12 sons there. But something happened with Reuben. Reuben lost what? Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Now we're just looking at a little bit of history, getting us a little bit before we go on, so when we get to the rest of these chapters coming up. Look in 1 Chronicles. Chapter 5 and verse number 1. Who was the firstborn of Jacob? Started with an R. Reuben. 1 Chronicles chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Now these are the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn. But for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Reuben lost his birthright because he went into his father's bed and took his father's wife there. So he lost his birthright. It was given to Joseph. Joseph's son had two sons. What happened, Pastor? That means there's 13 tribes. Well, no, because there was one tribe whose inheritance was the Lord. Whose tribe was that? The Levites. God covers all this. I mean, look with me in Numbers chapter number 1. Let's look there real quick. Numbers chapter number 1. We'll be closing up real quick here. I know this seems like it's a a lecture more than a sermon, but there's a lot of information here. Numbers, chapter number 1, verse 5. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you in the tribes of Reuben: Elzur, the son of Shedeur, of Simeon, Shemaniel, and the sons of, Zerahadiah, of Judah, and Nashon, the son of Amminadab, and Issachar, and Nathanael, the son of Zior, and Zebulun, and Eliab, the son of Helon, of the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, Elsim, and sons of Amrihud, Manasseh, and Gimliah, and the sons of Pedezra, of Benjamin, Adiathan, and the sons of Gideon, of Dan, Azer, and the sons of Amishaddai, and Ashar, Pigel, the sons of Ophren, and Gad, Elsaph, and the sons of Duel, of Naphtali, Ariel, the sons of Edan. And then if you go down to verse number 33, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Ephraim, were 40,500, and the tribe of Manasseh. So you have them laid out there in that. But then you had the tribe of Levi, which had the inheritance of the Lord. Now all of this, I said all that to say back in our text, and we're about to close here. If you flip back over in our text, came from this one man, Eber. God began to dwell God began to use a nation instead of dealing with the world. And so out of Abraham, the world was blessed, and we certainly have been blessed by the Son of God coming out of that lineage there, that people. And we are able to trust Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, because of God beginning to work through the nation of Israel, as he did here. Verse 31, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and the sons of Abram, Abram's wife, and they went forth unto with them from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Their destination was not Haran, it was actually Canaan. That was their total destination. Now, Abram eventually left Haran, but it took him a while to go along and get down the way with him, to get on down there, but he brought that trouble out with him. But I want you to know that God's a God of grace. God's a God of grace, and he has extended grace to all mankind. Over in Romans chapter 5, I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Verse number 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. God commendeth his love toward us, while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's the grace of God that worked all the way back through this whole situation, through the nation of Israel, to bring us Christ, so that we can have a Savior, Redeemer, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that was all according to God's timing. And all that started way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son. So now this is by chance. It's no more by chance than creation was by chance. This is God and his hand at work, and the provident hand of God as he worked down through mankind. And as the world seemingly turns upside down and seems like it's going to and fro on every direction, listen, it is not catching God by surprise. Not at all catching God by surprise. And we're going to close there. We're going to pick up next week in Genesis chapter 12 in our Sunday. All right, we close. You come down, give them right hand of fellowship. Welcome into our family. Church family, and be praying for them, that God will give them a place to serve, because there's plenty to do around here. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for sending visitors our way on Sunday evening. Lord, a church family that couldn't be here tonight, whether sickness or work or other things that hindered them, God, we pray that next time we open the doors, they'd be able to be here. Bless Wednesday night, God. A couple of Bible clubs, Lord, and our Discovery Zone or Youth Zone, and then our prayer meeting on Wednesday night to go well. This week, Lord, as we're out and about doing our daily cares of life, we pray, God, you'd use us as a testimony for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the Smith family and the grandkids that have come tonight to join. I pray, God, our church will love them, help them along the way, and help them to grow. Thank you for increasing our membership. In Jesus' name, amen.